And I spend my time full-time here in Washington, D.C., educating legislators regarding the health effects, the biological and health effects from wireless radiation. And part of our team is cancer epidemiologists, toxicologists, cellular biologists, all the people that the FCC do not employ. As a matter of fact, the FCC does not even have a health department. And the working around of health effects from wireless technology is really a sad chapter in the history of this country. And frankly, there's no nice way to say this. The wireless industry is lying about health, and they're lying about this technology and how it needs to be implemented. And coming from California, we have more insight because they're already beginning to install, so we know more about it. But I think this video is important because it's one of...
It's really high frequency, so everybody thinks it doesn't go very far. But it's a really big pipe, and so that's what allows you to gain...
Well, wait a second now. Do we have the capacity to get that shown? No?
It's okay. It's only 30 seconds.
Okay. But I'm getting wavelengths that are bothering me. I'm kidding.
It's downloaded.
Here, even 3,000 feet away, we're still getting gig speeds.
I think what's important about this Verizon advertisement for 5G is they make it very clear that their technology can travel very easily 3,000 feet. So that's more than half a mile. So what that means is they do not need to locate these transmitters so close to people. They do not need to locate them so close together to each other. Not so close to human beings and other living things that will be affected by it. So they're really lying about the implementation of this technology. If you look, Councilwoman, if you look at this brochure here, this is from Verizon themselves, and this is regarding their insurance for their wireless devices. And what it says is we do not cover emissions or pollutants emitted by our wireless technology. But what's really interesting about this brochure is they define wireless radiation in all its terms as a pollutant themselves. And they say here, they do not cover and they exclude coverage for pollution, the discharge, dispersal, seepage, migration, or escape of pollutants. Pollutants mean any solid, liquid, gaseous, or thermal irritant or contaminant, including smoke, vapor, soot, fumes, acid, alkalines, chemicals, artificially produced electric fields, magnetic fields, electromagnetic fields, sound waves, microwaves, and all artificially produced ionizing or non-ionizing radiation or waste. So what's interesting is they define wireless radiation as a pollutant when it comes to them covering and protecting themselves in terms of liability. But when they want to force it into our communities and blanket our communities with wireless radiation, supposedly it's safe. And I ask you, Councilwoman, that the count that all of the representatives from the wireless industry be asked very specifically to state on the record that this wireless technology is safe for the health and safety of our residents. I want that on record because according to their own printed literature, that's not the case. And that's a big issue because working around health effects, known health effects, is really the MO. Whether it's the FCC order, which says that we have streamlining, so we don't want to consider health environmental issues at all, so they can just work around it. And what really concerns me very much is that what we're not talking about is that we are talking about implementation, and that in the signing of the MLAs, the public was not included. The normal process was not included. Our elected officials were not included. That cannot be the normal due process in this city, but that's what's happening. And if people are really so eager to have this technology and it's so great, why not include the community's input? Why not have their input in what's going on? Now, another lie of the industry, and there's no other way to say it, is that these are going to be small cells and they won't be too bothersome to the community. This is in California. This is what it looks like when they upside down when they install. And what the plan is to be 4G. This is going to be 4G, and then they're going to put a 5G on top of it. And that's the power source that can be the size of two refrigerators. And you can see it's about 15 feet from this woman's home. There is no way this woman doesn't get sick, either short-term with neurological or long-term with cancer.
Where is this picture? Could you?
In Santa Rosa.
Santa Rosa?
Yeah, and it's in the, you can find it in an article. I can send you the article.
Okay.
But, so what we have is the industry clearly lying to public representatives, which should outrage you enough that you stop the process and you start over again, because this is a forcing and workaround, and that is the MO. And what you need to understand is no wireless device, and 5G included, is safety tested before it's put on market. No antenna is safety tested before it's put on market. They only have to fall under an exposure guideline that is a thermal guideline only, which means you're only guaranteed not to be heated or burned by your phone or your antenna. Anything below that over time isn't covered, and that's where the real health effects are. The reality is this is the greatest environmental and safety threat of our time, and instead of fighting back and pushing back, especially when we have safe alternatives like wired fiber optic to the home, we are spending millions and billions and just showing the way to the industry of taking advantage of us. This is when we need our representatives to represent. This is when we need our representatives to push back. And it can't just be you, it has to be the entire council. This is truly wrong. You can only microwave radiate people so much. And what you'll see in my packet is a report from the Army on millimeter waves looking at 350 studies showing clear biological effects below thermal, below our safety guidelines. And what's interesting about this report is they said the subjects of these studies, 30 to 80% of them were aware of it because our skin and our eyes are going to absorb a disproportionate amount of this wireless radiation. So you're talking about serious effects to our skin, and our nerves invigorate our skin, so you're talking about affecting our entire neurological system and exposing our eyes to military-grade wireless radiation, and our eyes have no natural defense against this. So you're talking about putting this in front of people's homes, forcing it into their rooms. This is absolutely absurd. We have video from the FCC proceedings with one of the 5G engineers saying themselves, look, we are forcing these directed beams into people's windows at levels that we do not allow in our labs, in our safety labs. This is absolutely absurd, and the FCC shrugged it off and said, this isn't an issue we need to be discussing today.
Okay, thank you. We have your testimony. I appreciate what you're talking about, but we do have over 50 witnesses.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Bouchon?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I want to speak on behalf of trees today, because we're hearing a lot of things about humans, and I really am really concerned about everything I'm hearing, as I'm sure that you are. But when I look through the guidelines, I realize it's going to affect also the tree health in the district. So one of the things that we were told, I happen to be one of three community representatives on the Urban Forestry Advisory Committee, and DDOT came to speak with us when we had our last committee meeting, and I appreciate that because it really let us know what some of the issues might be. One of those issues is that, of course, these small cells have to be put someplace on a street, and right now it's going to be in what we call, I like the name of this, the amenity zone. That happens to be where trees are planted now. So if there are cell towers, those small cell installations would go up in the same spot, in the same general area where the trees are now going. Okay, this is pretty easy to say, and they have said in the guidelines that a tower cannot go, a pole cannot go where there's an existing tree. That's pretty clear. But what is not as clear in the guidelines is what happens to future plantings. So let's say we want more trees along our streets, and I'm really advocating for that because I live close to Rhode Island Avenue, and we have a lot of very stately old trees that have been very aggressively pruned by Pepco over the years. And many of us live in neighborhoods where there are overhead wires. Once those trees come down, and many of them have been removed on Rhode Island Avenue, then only trees that reach a mature height of 25 feet are allowed to be planted. Now, we're talking about trees that were 80 feet tall, and now we have a tree that can be no more than 25 feet tall. My solution to that is we can't just put a tree in where the tree box was for that large tree. We should be putting in three small trees to replace each of those large ones. Still won't really provide the same benefits. But here's what's going to happen. If one of those cell phone small cells poles goes in that space, there will be no tree in that space. So are we able to project where we want those trees? Is DDOT has said that they would be giving permits and that they would be careful about it. But the reality is we're talking about probably 50% of us live on streets that have power poles. When those giant trees come out, who's going to really be sitting there and saying to these companies, you can't put in a tower and can't put anything here because we're going to have trees? So I really think that we need to slow this down. I'm in total agreement with what everybody's saying. We need to protect our canopy. I want to read, and I'm going to quote this, because Lowell McAdam, who's a Verizon chairman, and this is exactly what you had said, sir, he said in an interview on CNN that Verizon's transmitters would work at 2,000 feet distance. So why is it necessary to have new poles put up, as allowed in the draft document, up to six on a block that's 750 feet in length, for example, if Verizon says that they can transmit over 2,000 feet? What's the point? So a lot of what has been written in these guidelines seems totally unnecessary, even if we weren't looking at some of the health issues. So to protect human health and tree health, we need to go back to the drawing board. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Ms. Warren?
Hi, I'm Linnea Warren, a resident who strongly disagrees with DC's approach to small cells. I'm going to be submitting a written report with a lot more details and sources, but this is just a quick summary of what I've found. Understand that the telecom industry is behind the rush to 5G, not users with any specific need. The FCC, whose chair was a Verizon lobbyist, gave industry a massive gift by declaring that pesky federal and local laws can't be used to slow the rollout of small cells and 5G. But 5G isn't a thing, it's a buzzword. Even industry doesn't yet know what it is or how it will work. Basically, commercial telecoms are trying to nail down rights to our public space for a wireless communication system they're still designing. Considering its unique role in cityscape, the nation's capital has got to be the worst place to serve as a guinea pig. There's no advantage to being first. My husband, a retired venture capital lawyer who represented tech companies, said insiders always joke that first-generation technology is only for suckers. Often it's little more than a concept being tested by early adopters. We're told that 5G will allow lots of data to be transmitted over high-frequency radio waves, which have been used for weapons but not for communications because the signals are so easily disrupted by walls, trees, perhaps even rain. On the assumption that antennas will need a clear line of sight and must be really close together, carriers envision dense overlapping networks of small cells. Since existing utility poles and streetlights can't always support the equipment, forests of new poles are planned, but they may not be necessary. As several people have mentioned, Verizon's chairman said their tests show 5G signals travel 2,000 feet. One of his field engineers said 3,000. That's more than half a mile. Until we know if telecoms actually need all this real estate, why give it away? Once we do, we lose control over what they can do with it. Why lift the tent flap and invite the camel to stick its nose inside? What do we get? Do you expect 5G to improve wireless service and bring broadband to all? A very nice industry rep told me that intended users are people and things on the street, period. It isn't designed to reach indoors. What can we lose? Small cells are unsightly, inefficient energy hogs that produce heat, threaten DC's trees and canopy goals, and emit harmful radiation with serious adverse health effects. Other countries acknowledge that wireless signals cause cancer and other serious disease and have set far more restrictive exposure laws than the U.S. Can we protect ourselves? Some cities at least keep small cells away from homes, some as far as 500 feet. DC's master license agreement only requires a 10-foot setback, less if the right-of-way is restricted. Why? Our mayor apparently decided, and I'm sure with good motives, but without asking the public or the council, to treat small cell installations as a routine administrative matter and encourage their deployment. Someone wrote an industry-friendly master license agreement that allows companies to cherry-pick locations.
Please sum up.
Which five have already signed. The Public Space Committee is a mayorally appointed committee that drafted design guidelines, again with input from industry, but not the public or the council. When the public was finally allowed to comment, the committee chair and DDOT's representative there waved off concerns about things like health as being outside their purview. Do we have any choice? Other cities howled when the FCC limited their ability to control public space. Many have filed suit. DC can stand up for its residents and join them. Let's slow down and see how this all shakes out. And if 5G indeed proves to be a good idea, then all wards deserve to have it.
Thank you very much. Ms. Moorman?
Thank you very much for having the roundtable today. Sorry. And letting me speak. I also want to say that I particularly appreciate the remarks by Jack Evans this morning, because he is my council member.
And mine, of course.
Yes. My name is Brenda Moorman. I've been a resident of Georgetown for 45 years. During that time, I've been involved in community affairs by serving as chair of the Beautification Committee of the Citizens Association of Georgetown, and the representative to the Georgetown bid on the Cityscape Committee. I've been chapter chair of the DC Sierra Club and served as president of the Georgetown Garden Club. After attending a community meeting in September and a Department of Transportation hearing in October, my concerns about the implementation of 5G small cell technology have grown. It appears that this implementation presents the strong possibility that the cultural and historical streetscapes of our city will be changed forever. Before this is done, I would urge that the council explore and investigate all questions regarding dangers to public health, scarring the scenic environment for visitors and residents, and destroying historic values in our designated historic neighborhoods, and other concerns which I'm sure will be brought out today. The Old Georgetown Act was passed by Congress in 1950. In recognition of the exceptional sites which are an integral part of Washington's founding and commercial and cultural history. It also provided for establishing approval processes for any changes through the Old Georgetown Board and the Commission of Fine Arts. In short, it was the will of Congress that Georgetown be preserved for future generations to understand and appreciate our history. As a vibrant commercial and residential community, changes have occurred in Georgetown, but only after thoroughly being considered, analyzed, and approved by the agencies and residents. Keeping that in mind, it's especially disheartening to hear the representative of one of the cell carriers publicly testify that 5G technology will not work in alleyways. The conclusion to be drawn from that is it's intended that all poles will be placed on commercial and residential streets. At present in Georgetown, there are no telephone or electric wires on our public streets. If the envisioned towers are installed, Georgetown's beauty and historic streetscapes will be marred forever. My second point is a short one, and that is all of the alternative options for placing these 5G poles should be considered before placing them on public streets in historic communities. One option that's been discussed is placing larger towers on the top of commercial buildings. If done, many, many fewer installations, possibly only five, would be needed for to adequately cover Georgetown. In summary, I request that the special historic values of Georgetown be given due consideration and all options to protect those values be considered. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I really think this committee is not in a position to evaluate where 5G is in its development until somebody clarifies that, why we need it, and when we need it. I see you have your hand raised. I'm going to go to you next. And then on top of that, whether all of these limitations that might be put on it are not feasible. Why not alleyways? Why not on roofs? Why not limitations in terms of where it's sited in any event? And will it really just enhance communication on the street and not anything in the homes? I think these questions have to be answered in addition to the ones about what other ill effects may be caused, but as yet, and I guess this is for our telecom companies when they come forward, but also, Mr. Modis, you have some views about this, so I'd like to hear them.
Those are excellent. Those Those are excellent questions. What's very important to understand is we already have 98% coverage in terms of communication between people. This is about the Internet of Things, things communicating with each other. And I would say we don't really need 5G. As a matter of fact, most of the capabilities they're talking about for 5G can be done through 4G and maybe even better. There's great limits in terms of the millimeter waves. That's why they haven't been used for decades. There's all kinds of problems with them. In order for the millimeter waves to work, they're going to have to put tremendous force behind them. And this tremendous force, and that's why you saw that huge power source over here, becomes very problematic, because as you increase these powers, you have certain biological effects, none of which are being taken into account. And when in doubt, we should leave it out. This is really, just like you're seeing here, about industry having their way, working around the process. And this is not really what people want. And what you know is, you probably know already, the National League of Cities is opposing the small cells rollout, as is the League of Mayors. So there are great concerns about this. The only ones who seem to really want 5G are the industry that are going to be benefiting. And how are they going to be benefiting? When they put a transmitter in front of your home, the design is it's going to be collecting data from up to 500 transmitters in your home. And they're going to be selling that data to the highest bidder, like Facebook does. This far, in terms of value, this far surpasses the wireless services themselves. That's why they're willing to spend $300 billion rolling it out. But what it does in the same time is seriously and intimately violate your privacy. The other issue is cybersecurity. With all these transmitters collecting information on us wirelessly, we know that wireless transmissions are easily hacked, and there's cybersecurity problems. So you're talking about violating people's privacy in a very intimate way, jeopardizing the cybersecurity of our nation, and exposing us to intense millimeter wave radiation in addition to the current radiation that we have now. And Councilwoman, I think it's very important to understand that with 4G, you're going to be putting these transmitters, which used to be located miles away from people, very close to the home, like here. And those transmissions are designed to travel miles. And the beginning of that trip is going to be going through residents very close by. These 4G transmitters have absolutely no place so close to people's homes. The 5G transmitters, while they're designed for shorter transmissions, you could understand why they would be located closer, but not this close to humans. But the 4G transmitters, and while our studies show that wireless radiation is clearly carcinogenic, neurotoxic, and genotoxic, they only look at one source, and these studies are very carefully designed to only consider one source. But what you're talking about here is now two sources, very strong sources, lower frequencies and higher frequencies, hitting people with a soup of wireless microwave radiation. So our bodies certainly are not designed to adapt to any of this. And the reason why low frequencies and these high frequencies are such a problem is we're electromagnetic. Our cells are electromagnetic. Our cells communicate, reproduce, and transmit electromagnetically. The idea that these billions of waves per second passing through our body are not going to have an effect on us is true fantasy. They absolutely have an effect on us. We are electromagnetic. So is our heart and brain.
Okay, thank you very much. Did you say that the National League of Cities and the League of Mayors oppose 5G technology, or is it just that they oppose the FCC's order?
They're opposing the FCC order, but specifically they're opposing S3157, which is a bill from Senator Thune, which is going to shorten the shot clocks, streamline, and then, by the way, if you get sick near a wireless transmitter,
okay, but,
you have to go back to...
But my question was pretty straightforward.
Okay.
Are they opposing the 5G technology, or are they just opposing the FCC order and perhaps this bill that has not been passed?
Both, but that bill only pertains to 5G and small cells.
Okay,
so therefore they oppose 5G transmitters. That bill only concerns itself with the rollout of 5G.
Okay, that's true that that's the subject, but do they oppose 5G technology as such, per se?
Based on their opposition with 3157, that is to facilitate 5G, I would say yes, they do. And we do know that they're opposing the FCC order.
No, I know that, okay. But I wanted to find out, because I thought you said they were opposing 5G.
But the FCC
technology.
Order is specifically about small cell rollout, too.
I know that. Well, yeah. I could have something that's about dogs, but then if I worry about a regulation about dogs, doesn't mean I'm opposed to dogs. Uh-huh. So there's a distinction.
but okay.
I hear what you're saying.
I just wanted to check that.
One thing I didn't mention was Dr. Beatrice Gollum from California, where I'm from, who's an expert in electromagnetic radiation health effects, wrote a letter regarding the rollout of small cells, and she cited 360 scientific citations pointing to the biological and health effects. This is a current professor expert in the field.
Could we have a copy of that?
That's in your packet. Okay. I just didn't have a chance to mention it along with the Army report. I think it's very illuminating.
You can't go on and on. The other thing is, in my packet, is there also a copy of that insurance form that you made reference to? Because I'd like to have that as well.
Yes, one from AT&T as well.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having this hearing and asking such good questions.
Okay, well, you want to add one thing?
You were saying that you wanted to know more about what 5G is. And I want to point out that it kind of means different things to different people. It isn't one thing. They're still trying to decide what its use is going to be. There was a conference in Barcelona this year that was for mobile carriers, and they were all talking about what's the killer app for 5G going to be. All that means is the fifth generation. It's an adjective of a technology. They don't know what it is. And a lot of the things that you hear about it, everybody's afraid to be a Luddite and say, oh no, I don't want modern things. We want to be modern. But making 911 systems work, it's not going to make any sense. If it's only aimed at people on the street, anybody inside who's trying to call 911 from a wireless thing has to have a whole separate distribution system. What they said at this conference is that what they think is going to be the really important thing from 5G is the business model, not any application that it's used for. And what the business model is it puts the expense of putting in that last link to customers on the users rather than on the telecoms, because it's expensive to run wires to every apartment in a building. So what they want to do is they want to do everything wirelessly. This isn't just for your phone. The biggest use right now is watching movies on your phone, which will be great if you're on the street. But they're still trying to work this out.
Okay, thank you. And thank you all very much. And could we have, if we don't have a full set of what you have, please make it available to us. Thank you.
And damages our cells. So we have the mechanism, we have the scientists saying it's a problem, the FCC saying it's safe without a health department or health professionals, and we know they're a captured agency. We have the industry pushing this. I very much want you to ask them to go on record in saying this technology is safe for our women, our children, our families that are going to be exposed to this, because they know it's not safe. They're protecting themselves in terms of liability, but they have no interest in protecting us. This is outrageous. This is the most important function of local government to protect our health and safety, and it's being called into action now.
Thank you. And thank you all for your testimony. I'd like to call now, please, Richard Hines, Citizens Association of Georgetown. Betsy Eames, I hope I'm saying that correctly, of Trees for Georgetown. Elsa Santoyo, CAG. I'm not sure what that stands for. Is the Citizens Association of Georgetown, I think? Yes? Yes. And Jim Wilcox, Commissioner Wilcox, ANC 2E06.